Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I'm going to start biting people.
It feels like you would have already started to do that, Dev.
Thing is, I know where some of these people have been, so for hygienic purposes, I don't want to put my mouth anywhere near there.
That makes sense. In more positive news, which not actually news because it's not out yet, I know the Media OCD store has started to ship out Digimon Movie 2 to people who pre-ordered it.
Woohoo!
It is a long week, and it's only Sunday.
Yep.
But hey, we have a new beat break to talk about.
So this, yes, and it absolutely sucks.
So this one's weird for me. Like, really good episode. This, combined with the last episode, I'm not quite sure there was enough content for two episodes, is my main issue. It's kind of bloated to get it there.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Especially when, like, it's like, oh, it's a two-parter about the relationship between Makoto and Chiratmon, who have not had a lot of depth added to them so far. But a lot of that is actually just part in part one. There is some of it here, but
yeah,
most of the depth is of a theoretically one-off character for the two-parter. And now it feels like we know more about her than, say, Reyna.
Yes, and Makoto.
Yeah, which, like, it's odd because, like, there's a lot of issues with it, but I still like it. But, man, there's issues starting to pile up, but it's good enough that it's still, like, good.
It was a very fun episode. The evolution sequence was awesome.
Yeah.
And apparently Chiratmon just evolves into Zero from Code Geass.
I would have gone with Batman. But you get to see Kyo deals with the cleaner intel person at the beginning. He really does not like the idea of selling Digimon.
Does like the idea of violence.
Then interestingly, though, they point out that Chiratmon is not actually weak. Makoto just has not had him use his attacks in general.
It's like, I'm such a weak sauce shit little tamer. I can't give enough E-pulse to, you know, cause nuke-size damage.
I can't decide how I feel about the idea that Kyo, and they even have him say it to explain it away, but him just brute forcing his way into the egg. It feels like that's like they want to deal with Haruko, but they need Kyo there. So they just have him say something to explain away his ability to get there, even though based on what they've said, that shouldn't be possible?
The thing is, it's at night, there's not a lot of security.
No, I know. No, it does work in context, but like, when the last episode was about how impossibly hard it is to get in there, it does create a bit of an issue for me. Because then, like, the entire setup of the last episode just Kyo and
get in there legitimately, because obviously they had to kind of like work around in there for a while.
Although oddly, now that I think about it, did he get in there with Cougarmon instead of Rasenmon?
Yeah.
Huh. I like Haruko wanting to keep Chiratmon, deciding that it's like a friend and it just won't eat her E-pulse.
Like, bitch, you are rancid.
And then all of a sudden we get the woman and the gang with guns. She has a mask. And
part of like the five?
We aren't supposed to know. The only thing we'll go over the credits later, they gave us her name, which I don't think they want us to know at the moment. But instead of crediting her as Masked Woman, they gave us a name, which we'll go over later. They really want the Chiratmon. And then, have they mentioned that guns don't hurt Digimon before this in the show?
I think it's more like guns aren't very effective against Digimon.
See, the way they worded it, it almost felt like they were saying guns wouldn't work on them at all. Not that it wouldn't be effective, like that it just wasn't going to work. Like as a way to explain away people not being able to fight them. You think it's just lack of effective?
That's what I feel like, at least like what it sounded like.
Okay, see, I took it much more literally, which may have been coloring my perception at what was being said.
I mean, a baseball bat works against Digimon, but apparently bullets don't.
Well, that's why I was trying to figure out what they meant, because we see, like, bats and stuff like that work elsewhere, so why would a bullet be not effective when a bat is what I mean.
I think it's just not enough stopping power for, like, a monster.
And then we get I feel like, does calling it the Sapotama a fake feel oddly too literal, because as far as I can tell, it's not that it's fake, it's just an alternate.
Counterfeit ID.
Yeah. That's the type of thing where I can't decide if it's better that we didn't know it existed before this, or if it would have made it better if we knew before, and I can't decide.
I mean, I guess, you know, fake ID was kind of what he was going for from context, like, oh, he wants to get back into the Shangri-La egg and live up the good life. So it's like, well, with your criminal record, only thing that's going to do is basically just get a fake ID.
Although I will say this, I'm trying to decide if the dad being that uncaring worked really well or if it was a bit much.
It came off a little bit sudden.
See, I can't decide if it makes him being a plotter better or if it's, if it was a little much. I honestly can't decide, though, honestly. Because I think having
it makes sense is a little heavy-handed the way they did it.
See, I thought that too, but I also can't decide if it feels that way or not, or if it's more meaning to have him mirror the daughter and neither of them sort of admitting that even as he's pointing out she does the same thing to Shademon, where like Shademon just wants to please her and she just does not care or even really notice.
Yeah.
Where like I feel like it was doing that and like maybe didn't point it out quite well enough, but then she wants Shademon to follow her and hey, and this is why Shademon is here, as we get a Haruko Shademon hybrid.
Which was really, really cool.
Yeah. And then Murasumon opens a mirror world. Is this the first time one of them have opened a mirror world, rather than them just using an entrance or a bad guy doing it? I actually can't recall.
I feel this might be the second time?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember.
Okay, I think it was Pandemon the last.
So the interesting thing is, and a lot of people point this out, is there's the implication of domestic abuse. I'm trying to decide how literal we should take that, because am I wrong, or was Haruko's dream not what actually happened?
He just seems kind of like neglectful.
Well, no, because no, the mom had like scrapes on her and stuff in the flashback, but like, at first I thought the dream was supposed to be literal, but I think it's what Haruko wanted to happen. I'm not sure, because like she suggests the mom left, but if Shademon was controlling the mom, would she have left?
I think it's like a situation with I think it's like a situation kind of like with Ukomon, where mind controlled the parents, but didn't say like did he stop doing that?
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know if that dream was meant to be telling us what happened, or if the mom up and left one day, and Haruko's wishing she had used Shademon to make her stay. And yeah, even in chapter 29, it's kind of up in the air since it's a dream sequence. I'm just more musing on how literal everything in that dream is meant to be, because they don't mention the mom again until the very end.
Yeah, and the dad is like, really hates the dark. He's like, you kind of remind me of your mom.
Yeah.
And
they do their best to knock out the dad quickly, then move on to Haruko freaking out, controlling Chirapmon. Makoto explaining, he's more like Chirapmon. She just hasn't noticed that aspect of him. And Chirapmon is free. And then we get the music start to swell. The Sapotama pops out. We get evolution to Night Chirapmon. And the Night Chirapmon evolution, very strange, it does not match one aspect of the Wolvermon evolution sequence. And did you notice what they did?
Not at all, because I did not get a chance to go back and reference Wolvermons.
At the end, they do the guitar riff from Braveheart.
I definitely heard that.
And a number of people noted it's actually the 2025 version from Beyond. That guitar riff is not in Wolvermon's evolution sequence. So weirdly, they're either adding unique touches to each one, or they've decided that the thing to do is that they just decided to change it running. So we'll see. Night Chirapmon shoots the beam at Wolvermon and Gekkoumon to wake them up. Haruko and Shademon freaking out even more. I like then we get Shademon like stopping mid-attack and trying to get Haruko to stop, and him asking the others to save her.
He's a very sweet shadow creature abomination.
Yes, he is. And then Night Trapmon throws a boomerang, which is weird. So not the boomerang itself.
It's a batarang.
The boomerang's cool. Yeah, the boomerang batarang's cool. But like the visual, did it feel like they wanted us to go Shademon's dead, minus that he doesn't actually die? Like they wanted that cool like kill visual, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't follow through. Which is good. I was expecting it's like, oh, someone's going to have their partner Digimon get murdered on screen. It's like, oh, nope, they're fine.
Then the father tries to take the fake egg and run, but that doesn't work. Kyo wants to know who they all are, and we get the you'll regret crossing us. And then as Kyo's gonna drag Sunny to the ministry, he tries blaming the daughter and Shademon, and Kyo just starts punching him in the face.
Which is the absolute least of what he deserves.
And we get interesting at the end where Kyo regrets sending them to do the job. And it's an interesting touch from Kyo where he feels like a character where he assumes he knows what's going on all the time. But whenever he does...
It's like oldest daughter syndrome where he just tries to take responsibility for absolutely everything.
Yeah. And then Makoto notes he's happy he got to see Haruko again. Haruko's decided to go see her mom. That's why I feel so weirdly disconnected from the dream sequences. Is I feel like it might work better if they hadn't mentioned the mom at the end to like to not like bring up even the question of was the dream what happened or not.
It's like, yeah, my mom's been trying to call me for a long time.
And
so,
I just ignored it. Yeah. And then Shademon's still with her and she accepts him now. And they have gold.
I also like the kid was like, hey, I'll adopt you. And Haruka's like, thanks for the offer, but I should probably check in with my mom at some point.
And then Glowing Dawn has golden rice to celebrate at home. And it bothers a few of them when it's pointed out it's gold, like gold Numamon. And Gekkomon points out the obvious, they never tried any food at the Shangri-La egg. And Makoto says the egg has everything but no Digimon, so he prefers it there.
It's like, fuck you, if I can't have my Batman creature, then I don't want to live there. Which, absolutely fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say solid episode on its own. I like it. As a two-parter, it definitely feels a bit bloated for me and a bit hollow because it's a bit too Act 1 and Act 2, if that makes sense. Like, Act 1 is Makoto. Act 2 is Haruko. There isn't a lot... Makoto's dealing with stuff in Part 2 is basically just a few lines.
Yeah, I would expect like another flashback or something about his parents or why he left. Other than like, the egg doesn't have Digimon.
I'm trying to decide though. I think the biggest issue for me is Evolution seemed great energy. I like the bit of it. But for a franchise based around Evolution, I'm trying to decide if doing the Evolution, it's the second normal Evolution. At episode 10, if just having a standard evolution is enough. Like, does it have the energy where if they're not going to have evolution be standard, if it just pops up as basically a normal evolution, does it actually end up feeling like enough once you get over, oh, neat, a new Digimon?
Yeah, but they need to spam the whole evolution sequence more.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, new Digimon, so it's cool, but then you stop and think about it and you go... would this have been cooler if it were episode 3? And the answer is probably yes.
Definitely. Felt like it was kind of dragged out a bit long.
I think my main disappointment, though, honestly, does it feel like with a two-parter, we were expecting to learn more about the Shangri-La egg and, like, stuff about society?
Yes, but no, we gotta...
Like, I honestly thought the second part was going to give us a lot more, like, society info that would, like, be cool, and we sort of just
didn't. Or more about Makoto's family. It's like, so they're like a bunch of rich people that own all these industries, but they didn't go looking for one of their kids.
Well, that's the thing, is it's really not clear what involvement the parents have had, in the sense of, okay, he has a Digimon and he's been thrown out. Did they have some involvement in improving that? Did they try to stop it? Did they not try to stop it because that would have meant losing their money? Were they actually thrown out separately and he just is unaware? Now, a lot of that is cool stuff to hang on to for later. It's just asking the question.
it would have been nice to have some of that now, because it's fucking episode 10.
Yeah. I feel like if we knew more about Reyna or Kyo, it would be easier to have Makoto be mysterious, but they're kind of all mysterious at this point, so no one is.
Yeah.
But then, next time we get a... So, it's an episode with Asuka in it, but he's not awake. Do you think he wakes up? Do you think we get a flashback? Do you think he says a word in some fashion? It feels like there has to be a flashback, don't you think so?
Definitely a flashback.
Yeah. With a black emotion, and the teaser definitely wants us to think some sort of dark evolution is happening. The show has hedged on doing stuff with teasers before, so I can't fully decide.
I feel like that's not going to be it. I figure someone's just going to snap and start beating the shit out of someone. Again.
And so far, am I right? That's only happened once so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yep. Now, I think the teasing setup for it works in that he's going to see his brother who's not doing well, so that will get his emotions high. So there's definitely the framing for what we see in the teaser with Gekkoman, but we'll see what we get with it. And Chat's musing on, do we think
that guy with the Apollomon in the background?
Chat's musing on if we think it will be a two-parter. I'm not sure I'd consider it a two. I'm not sure I expect a two-parter. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the plot ends and whatever happens happens at the very end, wherein it goes into the next episode. But sort of like how episodes 1, 2, and 3 were three connected episodes, but it wasn't really a three-parter.
Yeah, they were standalone-ish, but they were connected.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if something like that happens. And only two guests this time. Amy Matsushima was Azumi, who's the masked woman. Now, here's what's interesting. She's the voice of the Sapotama. It's her again. And she was also Mimikmon. So the question then is she that woman because she's the Sapotama? Or did they cast her as the Sapotama because she's there as a main character anyways? And will it in any form be important that it's the same voice, or close enough to the same voice?
Or, additionally, it could be that she's just a cryptid and won't leave the studio, so they just give her stuff to do.
That feels more like Megumi Han, based on what everyone has said. and then Miyoko Kawashiro was Haruko's mother. She was one of the one-off girls, Chinatsu in Ghost Game, although she does have some interesting roles. Drossel in Fireball, Toshimori in Kakashi, Pimon in One Piece. And are you ready for some dubbed over content? There wasn't a lot, but there were a couple things. She's Cho Chang in the Harry Potter movies in Japan, and Princess Leia in Rogue One, but I could not find if she was Princess Leia in anything else.
That last one is cool.
It's a bit weird, though. Like, you would think they'd be like, okay, did she play Princess Leia in, you know, the sequel films? Or was it, like, just, like, young Princess Leia?
Young Princess Leia only had, like, what, like, 2-3 lines the entire thing?
But that's why I'm curious, like, do you not have someone who played Princess Leia in other stuff? Or, like, dubbed over her in modern games? Or is it her and it's just not listed properly? I don't know. And then, like we said, preview for the next episode, Black Emotion. They're definitely teasing things. And also, some familiar Digimon, and looks like it'll be our first solid appearance of one of the... I forgot their names. What was it? The Five Stars?
Yes.
I actually forgot the group name entirely, and that's not a complicated name.
Or the Big Five or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, chat saying it is indeed the Five Stars. I said that I'm like, oh, I've said the most basic name I can think of. It's probably different. No, it is not.
Yep, you are correct.
And then for some beat break news. So first up, we got production art. A few pieces of art from episode 9, which really, really good. We get a line art video of Trotmon and the others at the attack from the end of the episode from animator Naoki Tate.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was a good, solid preview video. Then they announced ED2, which is Brave Groove by the idol group iLife, which starts the January 4th episode. Notably, they are not telling us what episode that is. So if there is no break, it will be 14.
That does line up for a lot of series having like 12 or 13 episode blocks.
Yeah, that's the thing is the New Year's breaks are like right before this, and Beat Break schedule does not quite line up with that, so we may actually get new episodes of the new year, or we may just find out there's not gonna be one on the 20th or whatever, but we will see.
Or maybe like a 0.5 episode.
God, I really hope they don't do that, because remember how terrible the Ghost Game one was? It was like we were actually looking forward to it, and instead it was a clip show of, was it two or three episodes?
I forget. I've mostly blocked it from my mind, minus like the really cool
Him with the hat.
yes. That was the only highlight.
And then for those who use Line, they've done a batch of Digimon Beat Break stickers, and it appears they are not geo-locked. They are a dollar.
Those are cute as shit. I want them.
They're really nice. But yeah, dollar. I've tried to get people to look, and so far I have not seen them be region locked anywhere. I assume somewhere they will be though, but yeah, as good as I've been able to check, nothing obvious region locked so far.
Also, I think Asuka says, like, I'll be back later or something like that, or see you later.
Yeah, I decided not to go through and try to translate them all. I gave serious consideration to do it, but yeah. That's a good tease one, though, honestly.
And Cougarmon is getting pets.
And then for Digimon Liberator, it's TIPS 29, which is a battle coverage verse from the Ragnamon-Galacticmon battle. I like these. I never go to the effort to read them, though, because I just do not need the detailed card information about what they did. Although I don't think anything in this match was cheating the card game. I think everything
Yeah,
here
they
was actually
didn't,
real.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, they didn't whip out some magical, the card rewrites its rules in the middle of the match kind of bullshit.
I admit one of the things I want to do at some point is go to re actually read the battle coverage for one where they actually cheat the card game, and like when they do the battle coverage, do they skip doing that? Did they just point out this isn't real? Because there have definitely been matches where there's no reality to it.
Yeah, like anytime a fucking Black Imperial German shows up.
Or a card transforms into another card.
Yeah.
And then, Time Stranger, the DLC is out tomorrow for Pack 1, which is I really wish they had not like give the full length the full name of the DLC pack is Additional Digimon and Episode Pack 1 Alternate Dimension. I think you could get rid of like the additional Digimon and episode part.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
unnecessary.
it's a bit wordy. So you get five new Digimon in the DLC. You get Blitzgraymon, Kreskarumon, Omegamon Alter B, Omegamon Zort Defeat, and Omegamon Alter S. It's the new story content has you battling alongside Kudai and Kyoko Koremi to stop Parallelmon, who has created the extra dimensional space.
I fucking love the 3D model of this little bastard.
So I like the 3D model of Parallelmon. Am I wrong, or is the 3D model of Kyoko's face look odd? Especially since they use her as the
That
key art
I
in the
did not
YouTube
pay
video?
attention to her whatsoever.
Okay, have you seen the key art image they're using for the YouTube video?
I may have. Let me
If you
see.
look at her face, I know they're trying to make her younger than the version of her from Cyber Sleuth, but something about the face, like maybe it's like the cell shading is a bit different in Cyber Sleuth or something. Something's like bothering me about the way she looks there. So this is part of the season pass, which if you bought the Deluxe or Ultimate Edition, you get this without an additional purchase. The season pass is $30. They have not announced yet what the price will be for standalone. I would assume $10 or $15.
More likely 15 to get you to
To get the
pay
season
for the
pass.
season pass and feel like it's a good deal.
I assume so, but it could be, it could always be the reveal that, tomorrow they go, and if you got the season pass, you also get this. And then just have it be $10, you don't get it. And they also announced as an addendum that with the purchase of any of the DLC packs, it also adds Parallelmon to your evolution paths.
Oh, that is cool.
And we also got our first details for packs 2 and 3. Pack 2 features Hiroko. Pack 3 features Asuna and Dr. Simmons. I don't know if this is notable or not, but both the characters who look different in different timelines both appear in their younger forms. I'm not sure if that's on purpose or if that's just using the art everyone's familiar with. So we get this 2 months after the game launch. I'm trying to decide if I expect a consistent schedule for 2 and 3. Like, do we expect 2 in a month? Do we expect 2 in 2 months? And then after that?
Really hard to say, because I'm not sure if it's something that is already pretty much finished and they were just holding
it. I assume most of this is done. Because here's the thing, and I say this non-jokingly, the Digimon lineup is very exciting if you go back in time 5 or 6 years. These are not like bleeding edge Digimon. In fact, most of these Digimon have already appeared. At least two of these were introduced in the last, like, 3D console game we got that they consider new. Because remember, Survive was not a 3D game, so we'll move that aside for now.
Yeah, because they can't just reuse models from that one.
Hacker's Memory is a new game, but they don't treat it that way anymore. Zwart Defeat and Ultra B were introduced in Next Order. And Ultra B and Ultra S are redecos of the same model. So even if these are new, these are not like rushing to... Like, these aren't like... If this were a Beat Break pack, we might go, oh man, maybe they're rushing to give us Beat Break Digimon. These are expected Digimon to have. Like, I love me some Omegamon, but like... Does this really feel like DLC Pack 1 to you, or does this feel like Digimon who should have been in the game and weren't?
This is Digimon that they know you'll pay extra money for.
Yeah. But to be fair, a lot of people, I think a good chunk of people bought the pack without knowing who would be there. But yeah.
I mean, that's obsessive Digimon fans.
No, I know, but like, Blitz Greymon and Cresc Greymon, if this were 2020, it would have been exciting to have them added to a game. At this point, it's kind of just I will judge the DLC less on the Digimon and more on the story content. I want to see what that is. I would like to know if it's worth comparatively $10. To their credit, they are saying short episode, but like, I mean,
how short?
Yeah, like you have 15, not played. You have
like speed run this in 15, 20 minutes. Will give me like an hour or two.
The way they've worded it, it sounds like an hour, and chat's having the same reaction, is that based on what they've said, it appears to be an hour. I would like to know how that hour is going to be, because I feel like the least exciting thing about Time Stranger so far has been any missions that have been connected to DLC. Because anyone who's gotten the costume DLC that's come with stuff, that DLC is all terrible. And to be fair...
Here's a hallway.
Oh, no. It's like the one I remember, and I think I've mentioned it before, is I got a mission. It's like, oh, I can't do this without the DLC. Well, I have the DLC. I will switch that. It's like, okay, I have to switch to the Kari costume. I switch to it. And then the mission is literally just running around in circles in an area until something happens. And then I got sucked into a thing and I had to fight one enemy and that was it. Now, some of the other ones that I did were cooler, but that's the one that sticks in my mind, where it's just running around the park with nothing to do until the mission is activated. And then I hit one guy. I'm trying to remember who I actually fought. I feel like it was Vadimon, but I could be wrong. I may just be thinking of Vadimon because of that card with him in the zone. So I'm hoping there's some cool mission stuff here, even if it's only an hour. Whether this is supposed to be the same Kyoko or not, we don't technically know because of the way wonky timelines are. Yeah, and of course, technically speaking, the one in Cyber Sleuth was someone else, but you know what I mean. Like, is this just a different character entirely, or is this supposed to be some form of that timeline? And then two, I will not explain why I'm interested in getting more Kadai, because that's actual spoilers for the game, which I promised everyone until the last episode this year. But this is Kyoko who's not possessed by Alphamon, as in Cyber Sleuth, but I'm trying to figure out, is this the real Kyoko from that dimension? Is this just entirely different? We will see. There's the character choices for the three DLC packs are exciting based on the main game. I just would like to see what they're going to do with them. I think they picked the right characters for the packs, though, honestly. So we'll see. It's out tomorrow, 3 p.m. Pacific. Although, for anyone listening, before then, just remember, Bandai historically is not great with getting everything up at release time. So if it's an extra 10 or 30 minutes, I would not be shocked.
Keep your standards low.
Well, it's not that. It's more just, I would rather people not be like, you know, sitting at the PC closing and reopening Steam trying to like force a game update when it's
fresh, refresh.
And don't get me wrong, if I was not busy tomorrow at that time, I would probably be doing that also. But like, I hope the DLC is good. I'm just curious to see how they will integrate it. Like, did you watch the trailer, Dev?
Yes.
Does it feel like the 5 Digimon are integrated into the story, including you using Cress and Blitz? It does, doesn't it?
It feels like it was, yeah.
Now, if we got the DLC and you did not get Cress and Blitz immediately, that would be expected, but kind of feels like you do, doesn't it?
I would fucking hope so.
See, I think that's just a visual for the trailer. I would love if like you show up and you don't have your Digimon and you have to just use those two. I'd love if it's something weird like that.
That would be pretty cool.
But I don't know if I expect that. It may be unfair to expect that, but I hope so. And then more Time Stranger stuff. So we got a video preview of Alter B. You know, it's funny. It's such a good design, but we didn't decide it was a good design until Alter S. Like
there's just so many fucking Omegamon.
Well, remember,
like, they all look cool.
Well, at the time, I think the issue was we hadn't... There was no Blitz or Cress shown off yet. So it was just like, okay, it's Omegamon, but they flipped the weapons. Once we got Alter S and Blitz and Cress, we could see the way that all worked. Because it was a bit until we got Alter S. Like, he was talked about in profiles and stuff, but we didn't get to see him for a while. And then,
I barely remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. God, it's been 8 years? It's been a while, 8, 9 years.
Oh yeah, no wonder I
yeah.
don't.
Oh no, it's been a while. Then PlayStation Blog is doing their game of the year and they're doing vote stuff. Time Stranger's nominated in 2 categories, best story and best PS5 game. Mm-hmm. I was looking at their trophy image. Does it feel weird that they put bronze there twice just so they could have like the 5 formation?
Yeah.
It's a bit odd. They gave us, you know, the plot for the DLC. I love when they announced Parallelmon. We got a comment from Tenya Yabuno. He's like, they're coming out with Parallelmon. Please summon V-Tamer 01 into the mainstream across the multiverse.
Yes, please. We would all enjoy that.
Yeah. That's why it's always been funny, because of that one company being told they couldn't use some of his characters. Everyone decided, like, he legally owns them and doesn't want them being used. And every time he appears, it's just like, use them. Or like staff talking to him about finding, you know, a use for them. And he's just like, use them.
Like, yes, the Ulforce Beedramon figure, you know, for Savers. Because he was such a important character in Savers.
No, what I like was, remember the stage event where they were talking about the figure, and they're like, yeah, it's basically just him from V-Tamer. And then they started asking him details on scale for other characters in case they did an actual V-Tamer version of it. But yeah.
Let's put googly eyes on them. It'll just be Zero Mer then.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to decide... I don't know, it's just neat. Parallelmon fits well here. I just really hope he's used well. It's not just, like, really shit. Because I'm all, like, I like the idea of that this is happening in 3 places at 3 times, and Parallelmon is in 3 places at once. But also, like, him being the villain for all 3 DLC packs also makes me go, oh, I hope this isn't lazy. Because I can see it being so, but I hope it's not. It's so cool they're using him like that. And I love that even the villain aspect is he's in 3 places at once fucking people over.
Yes, he does.
Then we get an art preview of Kyoko. Now, what's interesting is I guess a lot of people did not see her in Time Stranger because she actually is in the main game a tiny, tiny bit. Because a lot of people saw this art and goes, oh shit, Kyoko's going to be in the game now. No, she's there. Just very little. And then the art for Omegamon Ultras, that's such good fucking art. It's so good.
Yes. Also, like, just like the way the eyes are glowing on the weapon arms.
Well, I like how... That is mad. I know, they're so good. everything about this art is great. I need it as large as possible. And then, so there's two parts of Terminus's lab. One of them we'll do a bit later. The main part is they go over the user's choice results, which is where they asked a couple of basic questions and said they would go over them later. They go over them with producer Hara. This is one where it's subtitled. Everyone has to really watch themselves. And hey, Omegamon wins, as he always does.
Omegamon assistant should have won.
That will come up later. And then Cardopalooza. So we get Venusmon and Parallel Alt Art. There's too many jokes to make about these cards, frankly. Dev, do you have anything you want to say?
Massive tracts of land.
That sounds about right. So the first one has her in her home from Time Stranger. The second one, you know what the funniest part of the second one, Dev, is? Look at the bird. Does that not look like, if you were to paint it, does not look like one of the good feathers?
Oh, that's hilarious. But honestly, the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, I know. I know the first thing that comes to mind, Dev.
No. It wasn't something terrible this time.
Was it the eyes?
Well, actually, it is terrible. Well, it kind of made me think of the one from Team Fortress 2.
And then Waymon has him in his pose from the game where he pops up. And a lot of people noted he would probably say whale.
Whale.
Then we get Calamaramon and Ranamon. These are both these are key scenes in the game for her. And they actually work really well, even if you don't know them, because they're just really good art.
I really like her menacing kind of grin for the Ranamon art.
Yeah, that I feel like that doesn't give away anything, but because the instant you see Ranamon, you're going to expect something's going on.
But yeah, look, she's a character. She's typecast as an asshole, okay?
Yeah, that's about right. Then we get Hyangomon / Divermon.
He's going through it.
With Shellmon. Yeah, no, that's a good scene. That's a good thing from the game. Then we get, box toppers from the set. The first one is Rosemon. Am I wrong, or is Koki using a completely different palette here than he normally does?
Usually he has more a softer, more pastel look, yeah. But these are really deep saturated colors.
And it works really well for Rosemon, even though it's not the exact tones you would expect for her, I think. The green is not as rich as you would expect, and the yellow hair, it works really well.
Yeah, normally it's neon yellow, but...
And then the weird fucking shock of the set, because we expected her a couple sets ago, a card of Kotone.
Yeah, that was right out of left field.
With new art by Cross Wars manga creator Yuki Nakashima. I wonder if he just wasn't available to draw enough cards, and Kotone just got pushed back so they could do the key Cross Wars characters. Because
hilariously, I was talking to one of my friends and telling them about Nene Shademon from the Cross Wars manga, and then Kotone, and lo and behold, this popped up at the same exact moment.
This is really fucked, because it was what was it, three sets ago was the Cross Wars manga, so we're Kotone is going to be there for sure, and then she wasn't. We're I wonder if the art just wasn't ready or something. Because it feels very strange to just have her as a box topper out of nowhere.
They're maybe doing a reprinting of the Cross Wars manga. It's hey.
No, they aren't, as far as I know. So it's just a bit weird. I mean, I'm not complaining. I like that she's getting a card. And from the manga creator, it's just a bit odd. Also, did we actually see her with the yellow cross loader anywhere in the manga? I mean, I think that was one of those things where they said it was yellow, but we only ever saw in the monochrome and she wasn't with it on a cover. So it was just sort of, she has a yellow one, but we've never seen it. Unless I'm misremembering, which I may be. I'm not sure.
It's been a lot. I read it when it came out, so it kind of blurs together.
And then weirdly, another one with Koki using different palette, Chaosmon. Does this look crazy good like a comic pose?
Yes. I get I like the really deep saturated colors.
It's really weird because you can tell it's his line work. It does not feel like the colors he normally chooses.
Also, the same as the Rosemon one has a tealish color background.
Yeah, it's very neat and interesting to see where it's obviously his art, but it's different enough that's just a bit, it throws me off seeing his colors like this because it's such a different set of colors. At first, you don't even realize it's him until you start looking at the line work and see his name and everything. And then Kuzuhamon gets a really good piece of art for another box topper.
I want this as, like, a full-size poster.
Yeah, this is one...
I love everything about this.
Or, if not a poster, you know what this would be good for?
Card sleeves?
No, a phone wallpaper where, you know, it's too tall instead of wide.
Ooh.
Because, you know, a lot of times the phone wallpapers, they'll just put, like, a color at the top or bottom to try to fit it to the aspect ratio of the tall phones.
Throw in more wispy clouds.
Yeah. And then everyone's favorite loser, Millenniummon, gets a card.
He's doing his best.
Is he? When's the last time he did his best, Dev?
Sometimes your best isn't good enough.
And then,
but it's still your best.
Then we get Digilab with Mirai and her cats. So these are box toppers. Does it feel like it's a bit confusing to throw in the Digilab card in the Time Stranger set after there's been two Cyber Sleuth sets, though?
Look, they just want more of her, okay?
It just feels a bit odd. But it's like the Kotone thing. There's probably a reason. And then right after that, the in-between... giving us the preview of the in-between theater right next to the Digilab preview store. And then we get Mirai here. They're very much trying to go for like a religious imagery thing where you get the not quite a cross lit up behind her.
Yeah, it's like coming down through like stained glass and...
She gets the hand over her heart where she's trying to not look as crotchety as she does in the game where it just feels like she like is almost upset you're there.
Get the fuck out of my house.
Then we get cards for Rei and Super Hacking. Rei gets new art in the style of Atmon. Looks great. And Super Hacking is a screen cap card, but now that they're doing screen cap cards of the HD shows, it blends a lot better, doesn't it?
Yes, you don't see the
yeah, like you look
grittiness
at the,
of the old ones.
Yeah, like you look at this, and if you weren't completely familiar with Atmon, this could actually just be art for a card. So it works.
And I'm not familiar with Atmon, so it's like, is it a screenshot or is it just
screenshot-esque?
Really nice one.
Yeah. Revivemon has him doing Savior Stall from his chest cannon. There's a few bits of pieces of art this takes inspiration from. I like it, though.
It's cool as shit.
And then Biomon is interesting. Especially in the face, it has a very, like, U.S. comic book feel to it.
Absolutely. What the hell was I thinking? Kind of gave me Mumra vibes.
See, I was thinking, like, the armor from Mummies Alive.
Okay, yes, that's it then.
But I... See, Mumra's not a bad answer.
My brain mixed up the two.
To be fair, they are both about weird, decrepit mummy guys.
Yeah, but some are from San Francisco.
And then we get Hadesmon and Parallel Alt Art. So, this one, both art's very good. This is where that they've started showing the art with Parallel Art at the same time. I feel diminishes this because they're so kind of similar-y.
Yeah, same color palette, yeah. Same kind of like direction there.
Yeah,
I
feel like if these had a week or two of separation, we would like both of them a lot more. At least in my opinion, I think. And then, it's beloved Kamemon and beloved Submarimon. These both look great.
I really like the Submarimon with like the bubbles kind of
going
by.
So the cool thing about Submarimon, well, these are both scenes from the game, but Submarimon, you can actually tell he's in one of the tunnels that you actually control him in the game. So that's extra neat. Also, both of these have that model kit syndrome we've talked about in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Then we get Sharkmon and Skull Siegemon. I don't have a lot to say about these because, like, they're really good art. They just aren't doing anything that I can comment on. Although I do feel like Skull Siegemon needs some more separation from the background.
The sample text does not help.
Yeah. I like
the same color as the one.
I like both, but yeah, Skull Siegemon's very blendy here. And then Shock Plasma and Soul Fear, which are attack moves, we get to see Agiomon and Skull Baluchimon. I like when we get the like mirror cards like this, where they're meant to mirror each other.
They scream.
Then we get details for regulation battles in January and February in US and Japan. First up, the cards are for participation, Lunamon. Does it look like she's dancing? It's like
for a second I thought she was just kind of like doing like being like a little snow angel thing.
Oh, I know what it is. Okay, ready? Think of if you were to pause when Kirby's dancing at the end of a level.
Aww.
And then
yeah, it does give those vibes.
And then we get Chris Palejman looking kind of contemplative with Yuki Daruman.
Like, yay, it's snowing! Yeah.
And the rules this time are actually fun. So it's at least 30 cards in the deck must have one of the following traits. Adventure, Hero, Atmon, Chronicle, Seekers, Liberator, Cyber Sleuth, or Time Stranger. And the 30 cards with the trait must have the same trait. So basically it's an anime or game theme.
Okay. God, so, I really love the frames on here. It's like little snowflakes and everything.
Yeah, they've been doing these for the regulation battles while all of them have had such nice frames.
I want the bunny.
And then Tamer Battle Pack 30 and Official Store Tournament Pack 2026 Volume 1. Some interesting choices here, just because these are, since they do new cards for everyone now, some of these you would have expected in sets, like Haru in Winter Gear.
Yeah, you think it would have put him in part like the Atmon.
Then, so Betamon X, am I wrong or does he not have a card yet? I think this is his first card. And you can tell, he's so happy to be here. And holy shit, I missed
him. And also Toki doing that super saturated.
Yeah, I was going to say, because of the sample text, like, my brain blocked that there's a second one there on top of the Seedramon.
Yeah, it's the little guy.
Then we get Flame Inferno, which is a demon doing one of his main attacks. The face demon's making, it looks like he's just happy to be there.
He is.
Warumanzimon sitting there, spitting out black hearts.
He's just taking a break
then
from his retail job.
Then we get Astra. Does something seem odd about his art?
I didn't watch the last part of Apamon, so I cannot comment on that.
It's almost like the face is almost too smooth. And then Icemon, which Koki doing something even more different here. Like, does it almost...
Very gritty.
I was going to say, like, if you look at Icemon, does it almost look, like, polite but menacing? Like he's giving you the side...
Old chap, I'm going to smack you in the face now.
Like he's giving you the side eye or something. It's really interesting. So these will be at events January through March in Japan and English regions. And English regions in February will get a bonus ADO Chumon card using his profile art from the card game, or from Time Stranger. One thing I like is we've not seen that art a lot, so it feels fresh even on the card. Card Battle, episode 243, had a Cyber Sleuth Barbamon deck versus Gaiamon deck. And they enhanced them using bonus cards from the starter deck, which makes sense. And then moving on from cards, Dev, how do you feel about spending money on Gashapon?
If only they were nearby so I could. I want all those little dot art ones so much.
So first up, the Nara Bandesu are re-releases of Digimon Adventure 2020 figures. These got re-released like 3 or 4 times, and we even got multiple releases of them in the U.S. They did them as... Gashapon in the U.S. And they were also... Do you remember they were doing those adventure card game gift sets?
Yes.
These were... they would include one of these at random as a memory marker.
I did grab one of those. I have the Gabumon.
Yeah. So these will be 400 yen a capsule starting next week.
They're really nice little figures.
Actually, maybe this week because it's... Because they don't put the date, they put what week, and the second week of December. So I guess that's actually this week, because December did start last Monday. So yeah. So 400 yen a capsule. And then the dot figure charms, which, as Dev said, these look great.
I really miss when Savers was airing, and they had all of the little, like, 1.5-inch minifigures, and a bunch of those had, like, the... Dot Agumon, Dot Kudamon, stuff like that, and they were really just so fucking cute, and these look exactly like that, and I want it.
Yeah, so these, we get two from Adventure, one and a half from Zero Two, because one's also really, really Adventure, and then two from Tamers. I feel like people are going to go nuts for that Terriermon one, though.
Absolutely. Also, how long before someone gets it and customizes it to look like Terriermon Assistant?
Well, they come out the fourth week of December, so I assume the fourth week of December. Okay, now here's the thing. To customize it, do you paint the coat on him, or do you find or make a tiny little coat and put it on him?
I think at the size they are, you'd have to paint the coat on them, but you can make a little tiny pixel badge for his little thing that goes on his coat.
Okay, that works. But yeah, these look neat. This is the time. We do get more and more Gashapon stuff in the U.S. nowadays, so I'm actually curious if we might get these at a reasonable price, because they will definitely show up being too expensive at conventions. These are going to be like $10-$15 each at conventions.
And yep. Then,
and talking about expensive, pre-orders went up for the WarGreymon Godzilla figure. Although I will say,
cool.
Not as expensive as I thought it was going to be honest.
Yeah, I was expecting around
when they announced pre-orders were going up the next day, I even did like Prices Right in the Discord. And the guesses were like $350, $400. Ignoring that like shipping and tariffs are gonna fuck this thing over, it's $240. Which very expensive, but also like how much did you say you were expecting, Dev? Cause I missed how much you said you thought this was going to be.
Around like 400 USD.
Yeah, I think that's about what everyone was feeling. So like, I really love how it's based on Kenji Watanabe's art, but also it's been like redone to like match a more anime aesthetic of WarGreymon. It's so cool. This is where Premium Bandai USA should put it. See, I'm not tempted for it because of importing tariffs and everything for it. If Premium Bandai USA had it, I would probably be tempted. But they're not, so that makes it easier. So pre-orders are open for this now. Pre-orders close January 5th, or unless they hit a specific amount, and it ships in April. That's such a cool-looking figure. And then, at roughly the same time, they put up pre-orders for the WarGreymon shirt, which is the only one of the collaboration monsters who did not get a shirt yet. So now that the shirt's up for pre-order, everyone, all the collaboration monsters have them, and the shirt looks neat. I'm not sure I completely get the, like, these are supposed to feel like rock and roll themed shirts. Do you get that aesthetic,
they
Dev?
Don't. Not at all.
I like that before I finish the question, you know. Yeah.
Look, I have a good amount of band shirts. This doesn't look like a rock and roll or a
I guess the question
whatsoever.
It may look like rock and roll logo shirts in Japan, though, which is possible.
It feels pretty basic.
And then Beat Break pop-up shop. So this is a pop-up corner in EEO store, open January 17th. We get two art themes, anime kimonos and graph art.
I want all of this.
So first, Dev, out of the anime art, who do you think looks the best?
Honestly, I want to say probably Reyna.
So I think she looks the best out of the humans, out of the Digimon. I think it's Geckomon, because he has like the scarf and he's doing like the blep while looking up at Tomorrow.
And his eyes are so shiny.
Yeah.
Also, he's wearing matching scarves.
Oh, I didn't even notice the scarves matched. You're absolutely right, though. But yeah, that looks neat. The shop will be open January 17th through 30th. At the Ikebukuro main store, EO store, selling items online. You can get them delivered or pick up in the store. They will ship in January if you do that. And the product. So for the anime art, we get can badges, clear case, acrylic artboard, acrylic keychains, acrylic stands. Those are going to sell out so fucking fast, those acrylic stands.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's a little too soon for them to show up at the convention I'm going to in February.
I would guess these will start showing up March at conventions.
Yeah.
And then we get the Petant stickers. And so the graph arts, it's a bit less SD than a lot of their art, and less graffiti and more, I want to call it like some mixture of marker crayon. I'm not sure what to call it, though.
That's kind of like a colored pencil kind of look to it.
See, I thought
sketchy.
I thought it was colored pencil, but then I looked at like the richness of the colors, and I'm not sure I'm feeling that. But I think that's the style they want, if that makes sense. Like, the colors are too rich for colored pencil for me.
Only if you're using shitty colored pencil. These are the nice ones.
Yeah, that's true also. So these
This is like the $2 a pencil colored pencils.
Yeah, I ain't buying $2 a pencil. We get can badges. The can badges, they're all framed really well on that. Like, really good.
I really want the Trotmon.
I wish Trotmon had a different backing color.
Yeah, it kind of blends in a lot, or they could have just increased the stroke around him.
Like, so if you look at, like, if you look at Geckomon or Pristimon, the colors and the framing's like perfect. Trotmon's just a bit too dark on this. We need like an orange background for Trotmon, like a yellowy orange.
Yeah, or they could have put like more yellow around him.
Yeah.
Like with Makoto, but
yeah. Clear case and petite stands. I already know which of these stands you want the most of. Trotmon.
Absolutely.
There's no backing issues on these.
So cute.
Do you like how Tomro's acting like he doesn't want to be in this?
He doesn't want to be anywhere.
Then for every 2,200 yen spent, you get postcard at random. And blind box items, if you order online, you can virtually check to see what they are. Now, if you use an intermediary, I'm not sure you can do that, but still neat.
Yeah, definitely not.
Some of them have been adding some of those weird features, though, so I wouldn't be shocked if some of them let you. I'd be curious to see how they go about doing that, though. Next up, poll results for Time Stranger. For the favorite Digimon story, Time Stranger Star Digimon, the winner is Pico Devimon / Demi Devimon. Honestly, the split is like almost a third each year.
They all had a really good showing, but my boy won.
When you consider, like, the lowest is Patamon, that's only 5% off a perfect third. That's, like, shockingly close to, like, everyone voting for this, for, like,
their favorite.
Yeah. Like, this is shockingly close to even. I really don't think we could have gotten more even than the top one getting 41% and the bottom one getting 28%. That means even the top one is maxed out at 8% more of default. That's almost nothing for a poll like this. It's shockingly, like, even. And then new poll, they announced this during the Terrymon Assistant video. It was, if you could, who is a Digimon who you'd like to raise or see in a future Digimon console game? And people went, oh, they're letting us pick. No, they're not. These are all, like, the most obvious. These are showing up in a fucking video game. You know what these all are? These are, like, the all-stars of should have been in Time Stranger.
It's like, if we crank out another Time Stranger DLC, we have models hanging around for these little bastards.
Like, here's the funny thing. If you look at all these, only one of them is really a not immediate choice for a video game. Who do you think that is, Dev?
One who's not?
The only one who's not is Koemon.
I mean, he was kind of already in World.
No, play. I know. What I mean is if you look at almost any Digimon here, they're almost all like starring roles in media or important characters who these are. This is what. It's not a fake
just
poll,
the main character.
But one, it's not a poll to decide who's there. This is just like a fun nothing poll, but the choices are all like, these are definitely going to be in a video game.
At some point.
Stark actually pointed out in the chat, he hates when polls like these show up because everyone gets bent out of shape thinking only one is going to end up in a game. And Tiny Iron Fist wants me to leave Mon Mon out of this. But yeah, like, okay, no, I made a mistake. It's not just Mon Mon. It's also a Commandramon. Commandramon is also, like, one of the, like, it makes sense why they'd be in a poll like this. But considering almost all of these are, like, starring anime or media characters.
Well, that and they all have, like, pretty decently popular, like, evolution lines where they could just shove, like, a full one in there very easily.
Yeah. But, like, after Time Stranger, these are all, like, the obvious choices for the next game. Not having to redo models for everyone. These are all, like, in, like, almost no problem, most of these. And then for the votes, they put, at least at once, Terrymon Assistant said he would go through the votes before turning them in, and then Producer Hara is just like, and Producer Hara is just like, yeah, it's just going to be it's just going to be 10 million votes for Terrymon Assistant if that happens.
He's my second place bet. I put in for Bemmon.
See, I honestly think This is the type of poll where we're going to get people desperately trying to, like, fuck it up because they honestly think this is what's going to decide when realistically, I would expect all of these in the next big game.
Yeah. Or like, is DLC in the next big game?
No, see, most of these I would expect to just be in. Like, the fact they have not, did not try to shove in the Ghost Gamer Beat Break Digimon as DLC, a lot of these, whether they were there in time or not, that they aren't trying to throw them in as DLC is actually, like, poorly thought out. Like, the game and Beat Break launched within a week itself. They should have had at least Geckomon, if no one else, added to the game that day.
Like, they did not think through. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't even think it's worth guessing who's going to win, because it's going to be whoever try. It's going to be just vote stacking after vote stacking from people who think this actually matters.
Which is annoying, because I would like to see, like, organically,
yeah,
what might win.
Although what's weird is at least two of these are in Time Stranger. They just are not.
Isn't there a bonus system already in there?
Who?
Didn't they cram Terrymon Assistant in there at the last second?
Okay, so Terrymon Assistant's in there. He's just not a, like, gettable Digimon. He's there story-wise. And one other one I think you come across in the story, but I'm not saying who, in case that's a spoiler. I did not come across him in my playthrough, but I know he's there somewhere. So I'm just not saying who, but it is someone here. And it's someone reasonably modern. Like, it's not like, oh, Chalkmon's wandering around somewhere. This is someone who, like, yeah. So this closes December 24th. So get your votes. You have a few more weeks. And then we have the weekend potpourri. So first up, Night Tropmon added to the reference book. That's good reference book art, to be honest. I like the pose, how it's not, like, weird.
Just standing there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It almost feels passive. If that makes sense.
Just kind of floating there.
And then after that, the Digimon music producer posted for the first time in a bit, and they came across the Soft V-Mates Crane game, and he mused on if these could be Christmas presents and if they should try to win one. They did not follow that up, though. I feel like if they won one, they would have followed it up.
Yeah, they probably tried a few times and then just said, fuck it, it's just cheaper to buy this.
Yeah. Are they for sale normally in Japan?
Any crane game toy depending on what you feel like paying.
I always forget about that. And then Kenji Watanabe tweeted it. He made a post to explain, because he's had a lot of canceled appearances lately, and people were very worried about him, and he explained that his wife had recently passed after a battle with cancer.
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
So he said she passed away. She had been battling for several years. She got worse at the end of October, and the doctor gave an estimate, and that's why he's been canceling stuff, because she entered care at home, and, you know, they just weren't talking about it. So, you know, he said fans and associates had been worried. She passed away December 2nd, and they concluded her funeral services on December 4th, which was her birthday.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. I know how that goes.
Yeah, so, you know, he talked about it a bit, because he's never necessarily been one to talk about himself, but he does a bit here. He points out that a lot of the care staff were, like, of the age where they would have grown up with Digimon, or they had kids who liked Tamagotchis. His wife liked when they talked about things like that with him, and he felt very grateful for that. So, you know, and he's talked about, you know, he plans to try to live in good spirits, because that's all he can really offer her at this point, because she's put so much effort into that sort of thing for him. And, you know, he's just saying thank you for understanding and support. Yeah.
Just give him some time.
Yeah, and that's basically what he was saying. It felt more like he wanted to explain why stuff had been canceled, because people were, you could see lots of tweets aimed at him in the last few months wondering if he was okay. Because he would cancel events, and then he would be at an event that was maybe a mile or two from where he lives, with no explanation of, you know, he's definitely out and about, but he's not going anywhere. And he decided to explain it at this point. And then Ayumi Minato posted art, a photo of his screen showing Digimon Believers art, along with the first physical fan letter they got. They thought it was wonderful. They said their face crinkled up reading it. They thought every character in the letter was a treasure, and its energy will help them write his next manga.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. And I had to shorten that because he was very happy. Then we get card game art of Bemmon/Venmon with Zeno saying he's here with him. That is such a neat little piece of art, especially since like the idea when you see him, you really do think he's going to be a villain, Bemmon.
But no, he's just an adorable little guy.
I know. That's such a good use of it too. So this is neat. Tenya Buno, when he did his post about being excited about Paralamon, he posted art of Paralamon, which is the only promotional piece of art of Paralamon we have. It was also used in the card for him 25 years ago in that V-Tamer promo pack they did for the original card game. We've never had this in high resolution before.
Actually, it was in the extras of the digital release of V-Tamer they did a little while back.
Oh, it was there. That's one of those things where I took screenshots of, and then I forgot I had ever took screenshots of. So, okay, we did have this in high resolution then.
Yep. Very nice big page, but of course there was like a background on it. But
yeah. Okay, so this is the first time we've had it clean, at least.
Yes.
Okay. See, in my head I kept going, I feel like we've had this large somewhere, but I can't find it, so I'm imagining it, so... Did this show up in full color in a V jump somewhere?
I don't know.
I feel like we had like a ratty large version of this from 25 years ago beyond just in the card game. Like it was somewhere. I just don't remember where. Then December art. The message here explains it all. Time flies and 2025 only has 1 month left. The dust and dirt that built up over the year are real issues. Tackle it promptly and prepare to welcome the new year. All right, for December, let's summon spirit and time to start cleaning. Lopmon is giving his all, but Terriermon... ..
I'm Lopmon right now.
The funny part is while all the poses are generic, the middle generic one, while it is a very generic cleaning pose, it appears to be taken specifically from a frame of Attack on Titan. Like, this is a generic cleaning pose, but, like, the exact everything is a redraw of Attack on Titan having a shot like this. And the best one, my favorite part, though, is if you look at Terriermon, the way his feet's drawn, where, like, he does not have a body. Where, like, yeah, it's just like, he's so lazy, he's, like, melted away.
Like, ha ha ha.
And I like how they dedicated one of the Lopmon images to being upset and pointing at Terriermon. And Chad has pointed out, truly Terriermon is Momentai here.
Momentai.
And, oh, that is fucking eerie how good that was, Dev. Holy shit. Oh,
did you forget that I was Terriermon in a bunch of fan dubs?
Okay, so remember how I commented on how Terriermon looked? Stark has explained it better than I could. He's a glove with a head. That's funny. And then we get some beat break art. So first up, the Digimon TV Twitter posted a Shikishi drawing of Chirapmon and Makoto that just says, and text in the Twitter tweet post just said, I love you.
It's so adorable.
The character designer of Beat Break put up art of Haruko to celebrate the new episode. And then later, they posted a short bit of text with no image and just said, the shadow in episode 3's illustration. If you go and check the art he did for episode 3, Night Tropmon's there.
Shit.
The shadow, which kind of just looks like a generic whatever shadow, is actually specifically Night Tropmon. And then people kept commenting on it, and his response was just, shh, like, let people figure it out for themselves. But yeah, I would not have thought that was an actual shadow of something. Because it sort of just feels like a generic shadow, but that's so cool that he did that.
It's like just sneaking shit in there.
And then chat, time for questions, so you guys can throw yours up as we do the ones we're sending ahead of time. Someone said, excitement early on for Digimon Beat Break was quite high. Do you think it's matched that level of excitement with quality? No, but I would say it's sort of like how...
85% of the way there.
We're still quite early in the show, but it's sort of like at the beginning of 2020 and Ghost Game, everyone was excited. Like, it's hard to beat that initial, like, hype cycle, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, holy shit, new anime.
Yeah. So, no, but, like, that's not really saying anything about the show itself. It's just
how it goes.
The first few episodes always set things up really well. And then, what Christmas specials do you have fond memories of? Do you still watch any?
I think it's called, like, The Life and Time of Santa Claus, where it's based on a book where he was, like, raised by fairies or something in the woods.
Is that the one where he's a redheaded kid walking around?
Yeah, and he goes traveling through time and stuff, and all these historical periods, and everyone's murdering each other, and he was raised by a lion.
I'm not sure this is the one that I know. I do remember one where, I don't know, it's Rankin Bass, so it probably is this one.
It was definitely a...
Oh, that's interesting. It's based on the book by L. Frank Baum.
Yes, that one.
No, I mean, I'm just surprised that his name was on it. I didn't know. I feel like any of the Rankin Bass ones kind of, like, are in my head somewhere. Do I watch any nowadays? I haven't watched any in a while. If I were to watch one, I feel like I'd watch, like, the Garfield one.
Like, if it happened to be on... Sure, especially because that one's, like, pretty short. It's actually a lot shorter than I thought it was when I was a small gremlin. But otherwise, usually, no, I want nothing to do with the Christmas or the holidays. I want it to be over.
So I'm trying to think, like, I remember a good one. The Year Without a Santa Claus. Heat Miser and Snow Miser. Oh, I remember those fucking songs.
They absolutely slap, and a couple of years ago, there was a cover of the Heat Miser and Snow Miser song that I have not been able to find anywhere, no matter how much I search. It was really fucking cool.
I bet we can find that when we both have some time. I'll see if I can find it later.
YouTube and various other song websites have utterly failed me.
How long ago was this?
Oh, God, this was, like, at least 5 or 6 years ago. I have not been able to find it whatsoever.
Okay, well, I'll take a look anyways. Even if I fail, it's worth the time. But, yeah, I feel like I always remember the Garfield one with the grandma and everything and them at the farm.
I don't remember that one, so I might not have seen it.
Someone in chat, Dev, is asking, do you remember what the cover's from?
It was just playing over, like, the store radio. That's the problem.
Okay, so it could just be any cover from any time ever.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
The Heat Miser had, like, a really deep, bassy voice and was, like, laughing maniacally at part of it, so it was, like, really cool.
Oh, that sounds neat. Let's see. Okay, here's a question from chat. What kind of new Dark Evolution could we get from Beat Break? I feel like we're all kind of expecting Evil Gecko.
What if Evil Gecko is just Gex?
Would it be Dana Gould? See, in my head, it's just going to be Kiro. It's just going to be Sergeant Frog.
But evil.
That's kind of just Sergeant Frog, though, honestly.
Varying degrees.
Then someone said, are there any Digimon products that are already announced that you're excited for?
Didn't we kind of have this similar question last week, I feel?
There was something like this. One second, let me check here. One second. See, I thought this was different than the one from last week, but maybe I'm wrong. Nah, I don't think there's... One second, let me just paste these in for you. Do you think maybe we got it in chat?
Maybe. It's like, what Digimon product were you, like, excited for or something?
Also, in chat, they've said, in the Japanese version of Gex, he is not dubbed over. It is Dana Gould.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, since this appears to be different, let's go ahead and answer. I feel like two things. One, the Cross Wars V-Pets. That's just very neat.
I want the Blue Flare one to go with my collection.
I have the wrong.
Oh, also that the Gabumon Kigurumi.
That's a good one. I feel like the Godzilla versus Digimon V-Pet is the V, like, people who like V-Pets, that's the one that seems to be the most interesting. So I'm looking forward to the Pendulum version. Oh, chat has now corrected. They're making a joke about if Dana Gould voicing an evil Geckomon.
Do it.
Someone
get a hold of them. Just do it.
Also, I'm looking forward to the Time Stranger DLC. I just hope that it's not as minimal as I kind of worry it is, which is what we talked about. But, like, I'm excited to see that because, like, having a weird little side thing could be really, really interesting. Because sometimes the games, you know, games can be a bit too focused, so having a weird little side thing could be fun.
Also, I like seeing new Digimon.
New-ish Digimon. There's no one new here, Death. Every Digimon...
I want Yabu tend to be happy to no, see more of his creations be in it.
No, I agree with that one. Oh, question in chat, Dev. What about a Garfield crossover with Digimon?
Garfield becomes a giant robot monster that launches lasagna missiles.
I feel like if we look, that probably already exists somewhere. There was an entire series of books about Garfield becoming a superhero in another dimension. I'm sure he's become a giant killer robot at some point.
I'd be disappointed if he wasn't granted that.
And let's see. Oh, next question. Feelings on cocoa. Are there any variations that you like? And do you prefer marshmallows or whipped cream? So I like cocoa. Dev, do you like cocoa?
Not really. Like, due to lung issues, I couldn't really have that much chocolate in general. So drinking a whole bunch of it was not a great idea. So I just generally don't have it that much ever.
And then, okay, so variation would be no. The next one you can answer, but it wouldn't really be cocoa specific. Marshmallows or whipped cream?
Ooh.
For cocoa, for cocoa, I would say marshmallows, but I feel like whipped cream on stuff works best elsewhere. Oh, and
actually, just give me the entire can. Like every two sips, I'll just fill up whatever part of the glass I drank down with more whipped cream.
And chat pointed this out. I knew this. I just wasn't sure if it was one or more. They actually made a 3D CGI movie about Garfield going to another dimension, becoming a superhero. I'm trying to remember what that series was called. It was like Garfield Super Pets or something. Oh, okay. Dev, here's a good question related to the cocoa one. What's your favorite flavor for dessert items?
I'm a basic bitch, so it's going to be vanilla.
Yeah, I think like good vanilla is good. I think for me, it's probably chocolate.
Especially if it's like really like fresh, like actual vanilla and not just, you know.
Oh, no, actual vanilla's really good. It's sort of like the difference between like if you get a dessert that has like good coconut in it over like coconut flavor.
Yeah, it's like this tastes kind of like a tropical scented soap.
That's a better explanation than I could have done. Okay, last chance in chat. I feel like we've... this is one chat sent in. I feel like we've done this one before, but since it's the Hollywood Dugan, what type of hot drinks based on Digimon or app monsters would we like to see? I feel like the problem is here is it's always like some weird thing at a collaboration cafe and we just hate them.
Yeah, the hot drinks have generally been kind of miserable. Either sad or abominations.
Yeah. Because the issue is it's something like, okay, it's a hot drink, so... If it's tea, they're going to throw in some syrup. They're going to throw in a decoration. And the problem is...
They're going to throw in a fucking strawberry or a single marshmallow.
The coffee with the single marshmallow is just sad. I feel like the ones that have been most successful, but also the least likely for me to want to drink, are when they've done hot milk drinks. But yeah, I feel like any collaboration type drinks like that, I'm just not going to like for hot drinks.
I wouldn't really be able to drink much of it. But an idea would be a hot chocolate with different layers for Gamamon.
Oh, that's a good one.
And you could do, like, his little face in the cream on the top.
See, and you do the Monica for, like, the horns.
Exactly.
Oh, and chat says it was called Garfield's Pet Force. And last question that was sent in. Someone asked, when Time Changer gets a Switch 2 port, how do you expect it to run? I think the key thing here is one of the, not issues, but one of the non-modern things about Time Changers is it does not have even any options for things like DLSS scaling. That's kind of like a hardware thing for the Switch 2. If they take care of that, it will look fine. I expect there'll be issues if they don't, because you can do lower resolution native, let it upscale using that, and it will still look pretty great. Like, I want to say someone said that it's ZA, right, Dev? Or do I have the letters wrong?
Yeah. Pokemon one?
Yeah. As far as I know, the native resolution of ZA on the Switch 2 is actually lower than on the Switch. so they could get better performance, but because of DLSS, it looks better, even though the actual resolution is actually lower. So if they do something like that, it's probably going to be 600p or something scaled up. We'll see. It's hard to say.
It'll look fine.
Yeah.
You're not playing on a Switch for the fucking graphics.
To be fair, it's kind of the same everywhere, which is part of the issue. So that is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Lotmon.
That is a good choice. We will catch you guys all Monday in a week or so. Thank you everyone for showing up. I can be found at With the Will as always. Bye.
Bye.